I'm Kier from Gallifrey Public Radio, a Doctor Who fandom podcast and part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, where once again we're here talking to a creator about their cool stuff. This time we have Josh Adams here to talk about his wonderful upcoming comic, Godfoe Universe, Apollon 20XX. And that sounds like a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, it definitely does. Sounds like a game I'd definitely love to play.
So, Josh, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm doing good. Living the dream.
Well, speaking of that, what is your real quick elevator pitch for this Godfoe universe that I know I am about to get sucked into?
All right, so the Godfoe universe, if I had to boil it down, it's a really massive multi-genre story. And it's going to be told in a lot of different formats. So there's podcasts, there's going to be a game, there's going to be comics, novels, and it spans several thousands of years. So it's all these different eras that are all connected. But the overall theme is that mankind, the elite, the most powerful people in the world, have created their own god. And doing that has destroyed the world. And so anybody throughout the thousands of years after that event, anybody who understands that there's corruption behind the scenes and says, oh, that thing that they call God is not God, they get labeled a Godfoe. And they're basically a terrorist. They're considered a threat to society. And we follow that story through a lot of different genres and a lot of different eras that are very distinct, but that remains a through line. Is that there is a man-made false god, and it needs to die.
Well, where do you get a crazy idea like that? Because I'm sure it's not from real life at all.
Oh, man, there's so many things that do feed into that. And, like, honestly, for me, I'm the artist, but I've also... Daniel Evans, who is the writer, he and I have developed this over the course of about 10 years. Like, we've been working on this story for a long time. And my biggest inspiration, and a big inspiration for him too, was the anime and manga Akira. And, you know, Akira deals with, like, from a Japanese perspective, Japan, so much of what they were creating in the 60s, 70s, 80s, it was all still so influenced by Hiroshima and Nagasaki, by the atomic bombs. I mean, that's where Godzilla, the radioactive monsters and things. And Akira was very much that idea of a apocalyptic event happening. And then what does that do to the people who survive it and the world that comes next? Because they had to build a new world in the ashes of the old one. And that's kind of what inspired our idea, is like, if a human being received the power of a god, like for all intents and purposes became a deity, you know, what would the world look like after that happened? Like, how would that affect, if it's basically the idea of weaponizing thought and intention. It's that idea that if all these people who are the wealthy, the elite, the powerful, that if they were able to just force their will on people, you know that they would. And this is our way of showing what the world would look like if that happened. So some of it comes from, maybe not directly from real life, but from fears about real life. And then, you know, for us, 9/11 felt like a very apocalyptic event for us here in the United States. And I know you'll probably remember, like, after 9/11, so many Americans all of a sudden, for the first time in their lives, questioned, can we trust our government? Are they telling us the truth? Whether we buy into conspiracy theories or not, we all can agree that so many people in our society started questioning everything at that point. And, you know, I don't think that's gotten better. I think it's gotten worse. And so we wanted to play on those fears of, like, what if you couldn't trust the people in power? Like, what if the people in power really did not have your best interests at heart? And what if they could control your will without you even knowing it? They could just implant thoughts, implant their plans and intentions into your mind without you even knowing it, and you'd think it was your idea. What a scary thought that is. And that's what Apollyon 20XX is, the beginning of that story. It's the beginning of that power becoming kind of getting into the wrong hands.
So how did you and Dan get together for this one?
Well, he and I, we met through music. We both have been in and out of bands. We never played in a band together, but we played shows around each other, got to know each other just from the local music scene. Had a lot of things in common, interests in common, worldview in common, a lot of the same fandoms that we shared. And initially, his band, Blue Bolt, they wanted to release, like, an album. And his initial thought was, like, this Blue Bolt character would be kind of, she's like a, almost like an anime angel-looking character. He's like, can you draw something like that? So I drew up some sketches for T-shirts and stuff of Blue Bolt. And then afterwards, he's like, I've got this idea for a story that could tie into the album. And he started writing, and I started doing art for those stories he was writing. And then all of a sudden, we start bouncing ideas off of each other and realize there's actually a real story here. And over the years, it just expanded and expanded and expanded into this enormous thing that is the Godfrey universe. And, you know, we both love comic books so much. You know, we felt like the first place that we wanted to start telling that story would be in a comic book, because you've got the opportunity to show things in that medium that we wouldn't ever be able to show anywhere else. So, like, it seemed like a no-brainer for us to begin the story in the comic book format.
Okay, so where are y'all from?
We're both from South Carolina. So, like, we've played music all around this area and just kind of gradually started putting our heads together and, you know, and just getting creative and just got so much energy from each other's creativity that it became this constant back and forth of tossing these ideas around until, before we knew it, we had, you know, an entire run of Apollyon written. We have another series called Colga that we've written 100 issues for that already. We've written the first novel of a series of novels, and we've got like 3 more already planned out and outlined. So, like, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, it finally reached the point where we felt like we had all of the lore completely figured out. We know so much about where the world's going that we won't ever have to turn around and retcon it. We won't ever have to reboot it. It's like it's so well put together before we start the process of actually releasing comics and things, so that we don't have to come back and fix it later.
I just asked because I was trying to find a picture of this character you drew, and it's like, oh, Flint City that I saw, because I'm over in Charleston.
Oh, really?
And, I didn't know that. A couple years in Sumter.
Nice. So you're next, right next door. My wife is from Charleston, so yeah, we know the Charleston area real well.
Yeah, you'll be back eventually. Then they don't leave for long.
We've been married for a whole 13 years, going on 14, so we're doing all right so far.
So you've mentioned a bunch of different mediums here.
Yeah.
How do you prepare for something like that, not knowing necessarily where different parts of your story are going to be able to be told?
Well, for us, it started with we have very much a top-down approach. So we planned out our eras first, and we knew these are the characters and this is the story that's going to happen in this era and how it's going to lead to the next one. And we basically created these different sandboxes to tell the stories in. We planned them to where you could step in at any of these different either series or novels. They work as standalones. They'll tell a complete story as a standalone, but they still will, there's still going to be things that if you've read one of the others, you'll see the DNA of that book in, you know, in another book, or you'll recognize a character that maybe was mentioned in the first era. You'll see that character's legacy in the second one. And so it's one of those things where if you read more of it, the more engaged you get in that world, the more it's going to be enriching for you. But we've made it to where you can pop in at every section and have a good story and not have to have knowledge of the whole universe to enjoy it. But a lot of it comes down to just being really organized and really taking our time and trying to make sure that, you know, we figured out any plot holes before they happen so we can know that there's not going to be somebody 10 years later that says, all right, well, this doesn't make sense because blah, 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 blah. You know, we really tried to flesh it all out fully and then start trying to market and sell it and get it in front of people.
What made you want to bring this over to Legacy Comics?
I do the Loot Bros Comic Cast with a guy named Daryl, and we interviewed Patrick about Condry, and I liked him a lot. Like, his personality I liked a lot. He was funny. He was very passionate. I was impressed with his work ethic. And, you know, he and I, like, while we're talking on the podcast doing the interview, but at the same time, we were kind of chatting back and forth in Messenger, and I sent him some artwork and things like that. And before long, he was like, man, I'd like to work with you, and I wanted to work with him. So we started off, he had a spinoff, sort of like a one-shot, that's set in his Condry universe called Sarita, which is the backstory of one of the characters from Condry. And he's like, I got this 24-page one-shot. I want you to draw the artwork for it. If you'll do the art for that, and if we like how that goes, if I'm happy with your artwork and how and you hitting deadlines, things like that, maybe we can talk about a relationship that goes further with your own stuff. And, you know, I was very excited to do that. That process was great. Working with him was great. And it just made sense. It happened really organically. You know, I didn't go looking for him. He didn't go looking for me. But, you know, it just, I believe in that company. I believe in how hard he's worked and how hard all of us have worked to try to make a product that people will enjoy and that doesn't condescend. It doesn't pander. It's good stories, good art, and hopefully something that people are going to want to keep coming back for a long time. But it just made sense.
I hope it's something people get to keep coming back for, because you've pretty much got me hooked on this story. And I mean, let's be fair, Patrick had me hooked on the story before already.
Yeah, dude, like, the way I look at it and the way Dan and I have approached this, and, you know, I've said this in other places, I have a huge amount of respect for indie comics. And any person, I feel like any person that takes the time to create something and work on it and bring it together and get it out in front of people, they deserve, like, hats off to them. I applaud them. I'm very impressed with anyone who has the nerve and the ethic, the work ethic to make it happen. My issue with the indie market is that so many of them are short-sighted. So what you get is a first issue that you maybe Kickstarter or you crowdfunded or whatever. You get that first issue, and, you know, the fundraiser ends, and then but the book isn't finished yet. So you're waiting for months. You finally get that issue, and it's 20 pages, 24 pages, 48 pages. But you get that issue, and let's say it's the best thing you've ever read. Maybe it's amazing. But you're waiting for more, and they don't have more. They haven't written more. You know, there's you might be waiting 2 years before you get a second issue. And so that's one of the things that, you know, we were excited about. And I think it's one of the things that made Patrick want to work with Dan and I, is that we were able to sit down with him and say, look, we've got all these issues of this written. We've got 100 issues of this other book written. Like, there's story already there, so that we can hopefully reach a point where there's constantly something coming out. You know, we have to work to reach that point. We got to build the brand first, but like, we've got enough content backlogged to keep something in front of our readers all the time, to constantly reward them for taking a chance on us.
But one of the things that I was asking Patrick about before was whether this one was going to be kickstarted. And in pure Patrick form, his response was, hell no, this is all ours. That is a direct quote from him.
That sounds about right.
So do you have any worries, or are you more excited that you're just completely ignoring Kickstarter or anything else like that and just putting it out straight through Legacy?
Well, the issue with the Kickstarter, and kickstarting does work well, I think, for a lot of people. It worked well for Legacy. That's how they were able to get started. And I definitely wouldn't try to tell somebody you shouldn't do Kickstarter. You know, before we met Patrick, that was originally going to be our plan as well, because, you know, that's just kind of what you have to do. The problem with Kickstarter is that they take a really big piece of the pie for themselves. So, you know, the idea of avoiding that if possible, it definitely has merit. So what we're doing here, we're releasing the Ashcan, which is a, you know, 6 pages. It's an introduction to the world of Apollyon 20XX, which will be, you know, chronologically, that's the first story in the Godfrey universe. That's going to be the beginning of the apocalypse that leads to all of the universe to come. So it's an exciting story with a lot of really cool characters, a lot of awesome emotional beats, but also a lot of action. We got a character named Zero who is on the cover of the Ashcan. He is the sort of the main point of view for that first book, and he realizes that he was set up to be God for this group of elite. This, we call them the Order, but he rebelled. He didn't follow their directions. He didn't take their orders well, and they replaced him with someone who they could control. And, you know, the Ashcan is really about him escaping and realizing that this person that they've replaced him with, that they're calling God, that they're, you know, that they're going to use to control the population, that person has to die. That God has to die before it has a chance to become as powerful as they want it to be. And so Apollyon 20XX, the series, which, you know, hopefully the first volume of the graphic novel series will come out in the spring is what we're planning. And that's going to be like 150 something pages, but that's going to be the beginning of that story of Zero finding other powerful people that he can form a team. So it has a little bit of that X-Men heroes, young heroes dynamic to it. But like, our plan is just, we're pre-selling, and we've done really well so far pre-selling the Ashcan. We got a lot of pre-orders. And, you know, we're going to get that printed, hopefully early summer. And then we're going to start doing book signings everywhere we possibly can, just to get it in people's hands. And, you know, it is a risk, and there is a certain amount of, well, what if it fails? But I'm choosing not to think that way. I know how hard we've worked on it. I know how good it is. And I really do believe that once people get this stuff in their hands, they're going to want more of that story. And we've got so much of that story to give that, you know, we're going to be entertaining people for decades with Godfoe.
Well, I can tell you that the only reason I haven't pre-ordered it yet is because I need to look and see which things at the Legacy store are covered by my Kickstarter and which aren't.
I gotcha.
So I can just get everything all in one shot.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's cool. they've been working hard getting those Kickstarter books packed up and out to people. And it's been amazing just how much people have rallied behind the cause, so to speak, for Legacy. We've got some people out there that are already diehard for Legacy. And man, that's really cool. And it lets me know that like we're offering something that they're not finding other places. So like it's invigorating. It makes you want to work harder. It makes you really want to reward those people's faith in you by giving them something that they haven't seen before, something that's awesome, something that's not, you know, formulaic, and something that's, you know, that's deep and rich, a world that they want to play in.
Well, the X-Men comparison there, as lighthearted as that might have been, that got me really excited, because that is another world full of a ton of characters and a ton of possibilities. And if you're thinking of them while you're thinking of your stuff and making that comparison there, then this is going to turn out pretty well, I think.
Well, you know, specifically the Chris Claremont era of X-Men, where, you know, they did such a good job during that period, which to me that's just like the golden age of X-Men, was when Claremont was writing, and you had and Jim Lee when he was doing the art. Those were complicated characters. They were not 2D cut and dry flat characters. There was depth to those characters. There was pain in those characters. There was a struggle for them to find their place in the world. And I think with our characters in Apollyon and 20XX, most of them are these younger people who were experimented on by this order, trying in the search of creating something like a god. And, you know, they have different abilities. They're not normal human beings, and they're kids who have been kind of ripped out of their world, ripped out of their lives a little bit. And now they're being told, all right, you know, the people that were hurting you, they're after you. They're going to kill you if they get a chance. So you're better off together than you are apart. And also, you know, you need to fight back against this thing. So it's that journey of, you know, who do we trust? Can we trust each other even initially? This first volume is going to be called Live Not by Lies. And so much of that story is going to be, you know, these basically kids thrown into a horrific situation and then trying to figure out they don't even know each other, much less this person that, you know, that broke them out of their prison, so to speak, and now they've got to fight beside each other. So it's like, can I trust you? Can I trust myself? You know, I think there's a lot of depth to it. It's not all action. There's going to be a lot of deeper character development too. But when the powers start coming out, I'm hoping it gives people that same vibe and excitement they got, you know, when they saw Magneto ripping the adamantium out of Wolverine's body, or, you know, the first time they saw a fastball special with Colossus. You know, we've got some really cool powers, really cool characters, some cool designs. Yeah, I can't wait to see some cosplayers take on some of these character designs at some conventions. We want to give people a world that they want to be a part of.
And where did the Apollyon 20XX name come from?
Well, Apollyon, there's the background of the word, and the name Apollyon comes from a very, very old book called Pilgrim's Progress. It is a spiritual allegory. And in that world, in that story, a character named Pilgrim realizes that the world, he has visions of the world ending. He has visions of Armageddon. And, you know, he sets off on this journey because he's seen like his city is going to be destroyed. So he sets off on this very, very almost fantasy-like pilgrimage. But one of the creatures he runs into and fights is this gigantic demonic being called Apollyon. And it's like a dragon with wings. It kind of reminds me of like the Balrog from Lord of the Rings. But its stomach is a mouth that's like always, always eating. It's this greedy, hungry, always devouring demon. And we thought that you know, what better way to describe this sort of existential threat to our world than a, you know, a group of people who are never satisfied. There's never enough money. There's never enough power. There's never enough control. They're always devouring. They're always, you know, wanting more. And, you know, if they have the ability, you know, to take, they're never going to stop taking. So, you know, Apollyon comes from that. And then 20XX is just to sort of show us that it's within our near future. You know, it could be next year, it could be 10 years from now, but the idea of the story is that it's set not very far away from where we are right now. It's that idea of, you know, how close are we to this kind of an end? And so that's where the title Apollyon 20XX came from.
It's so weird to hear 20XX being a near future thing.
Isn't that
growing
crazy?
Up for me. I know, right? Because growing up, it was like 20XX is so far away.
Well, it's like you go back and watch Terminator, and it's like 1996. You're like, whoa, what? Judgment Day was a long time ago.
And what advice would you have for somebody looking to get into comics?
I think that it would be different advice for different groups. If you're an artist and you're looking to get into comics, I would say my biggest advice I can give you is don't try to draw like the comics that you read. Like, don't look at a issue that Jim Lee drew and say, okay, I want to learn to draw and try to draw just like him, or I want to try to draw like Todd McFarlane and learn from that. Because, you know, what you get when you learn to draw from a comic book, comic art is already stylized. It's already exaggerated. And when you try to ape that, your art's going to be an even more exaggerated version of that. And it's going to, you know, it's going to look unprofessional. I would say, like, the best thing I can tell you is to take some actual art classes, or get some, you know, there's a lot of art lessons that you can get on YouTube. Learn anatomy. Like, on my art desk, I have like 3 anatomy books, just so that, like, when I draw an arm or a leg, or I need to see how the knee bends, it's going to look, you know, like a stylized, but it's going to look like an actual human body, versus some of the stuff that a lot of people will put up and think, okay, this is my pitch. I want you to buy my comic. Well, you look at the art, and it just looks so unfinished or unprofessional. I think just, like, work on, if you're an artist, work on anatomy, work on backgrounds, not just drawing characters that look good, but work on, like, fleshing out the background behind those characters, make that whole page interesting. And then as for writers, I think the biggest thing is allow other people to read your stuff. Like, give somebody your work and say, all right, I want you to give this back to me bleeding. Like, what works in this and what doesn't? Like, don't be so precious about your work that you think it can't be improved, because we all need an editor. Now, I don't care how good an artist or how good a writer you think you are. If Stephen King needs an editor, so do we. So, like, I would say, like, give your art to some people to critique. Give your book to some people to critique, and take those critiques to heart and improve, because ultimately you'll reach the point where you've fixed enough of those things that you didn't realize were flaws, that when you put it in front of someone, they say, yeah, I would buy that. I think that's the biggest thing, is never be complacent. You know, never think I'm as good as I need to be. You know, be open to that. Be open to rejection, and be open to critique, even if it hurts, because it'll make you better. And eventually you'll reach the point where someone wants to work with you.
Going from something serious like that to the complete opposite end of everything. Who's your favorite Muppet?
The Swedish Chef. Turba 1000% the Swedish Chef.
I can't remember the last person who said the Swedish Chef, and that's kind of of shame. Because there should
hilarious.
Be more people saying him.
I love him, and I love the two old men that just sit up in the balcony and talk trash.
Oh, I mean, the two old men are just life goals.
Yeah, that's going to be me. That's going to be me and Dan in about 40 years. It's probably me now. I sit back and complain about everything. Just, that's garbage. Every trailer that comes out, I can't believe they messed this up. Yeah, I'm already those men.
I think we are all those men inside.
I know I abuse myself the way that those men abuse people, so I definitely critique myself that heavily.
Well, Josh, it has been great talking to you about all of this. If people want to hear more from you, where else can they find you around the internet?
All right, well, you can find on Twitter and on Instagram. Just look for Godfo Universe or look for Josh Adams Godfo Universe. Pretty easy to find on both of those. We have a Godfo Universe group on Facebook. I'm constantly updating that. That's going to be a place where you're going to find work in progress art. You're going to get videos just talking about the world. So that's a good place to hook up with us. You can also just go to legacycomics.com. That's comics with an X, legacycomics.com. And all of our books are there. And I would urge everybody to check out all of the stuff. Like the stable at Legacy, for us to be a fairly small startup, we got a strong stable of books that I don't think anybody could come to us and not find something that would appeal to them. So definitely would encourage you to just check out our site. But yeah, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, those are the best places to catch me.
And as always, we'll have links to all that stuff down in the show notes, because clicking links is so much easier than trying to remember how to spell things.
For sure.
Especially when Patrick has to go weird and use an X because he's one of those early 2000s kids.
It's extreme.
And as always, if you want to hear more from me, the best place is to head on over to playcomics.com, where you can find links to everything, including Twitter, mostly hanging out and causing a ruckus lately because that's what the world has come to. Oh yeah, that's why we're looking at a post-apocalyptic current future comic thing today. How thematically appropriate. If you want to help support the show, you can head on over to playcomics.com as well, where there's links to all kinds of ways that you could help support the show. Most of all, just grab an episode and shove it in somebody's ear holes with their consent, or at least a warning, so you know they know what's coming, because that's kind of dangerous for your ear anatomy. You shouldn't really mess with people's ears like that. Please just keep in your hearts the remembrance that Play Comics is a member of the Gonna Geek Network, home to a bunch of other wonderfully geeky shows, including Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., where I have an excuse to talk about Marvel TV shows and movies, and I don't have to do the editing most of the time, and I get to work with some wonderful people over there who just make the magic happen again and again and again. If you like the music that I'm rudely talking on top of right now, head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day to check out Best Day's music. But most of all, just grab a game, grab a comic, and go find yourself a new favorite character.